today. The first is from Joshua, chapter 24. So now, revere the Lord. Serve him honestly and faithfully. Put aside the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if it seems wrong in your opinion to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Choose the gods whom your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But my family and I will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, God forbid that we ever leave the Lord to serve other gods. The Lord is our God. He is the one who brought us and our ancestors up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He has done these mighty signs in our sight. He has protected us the whole way we've gone and in all the nations through which we've passed. The Lord has driven out all the nations before us, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. As the time approached when Jesus was taken up into heaven, he determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead of him. Along the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the Samaritan villagers refused to welcome him because he was determined to go to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to consume them? But Jesus turned and spoke sternly to them, and they went on to another village. As Jesus and his disciples traveled along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens, and the birds in the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then Jesus said to someone else, follow me. He replied, first let me go and bury my father. He said to him, the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of God's kingdom. And someone else said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for God's kingdom. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Microphone seems to be a little touchy these days. So Joshua speaks to the Israelites who have been rescued from slavery in Egypt, despite their objections, and sustained through the wilderness, even through their complaining and lack of faith. Under Joshua's leadership, the people crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land, and they are living in the kingdom that God has given them. But for it to be God's kingdom, God has to be king. So Joshua asks the people to choose this day whom they will serve. They promise to serve the Lord, but Joshua has his doubts. As for him and his family, they will serve the Lord, but that's not enough to make the whole land, God's kingdom. We cannot live in the kingdom alone. That just wouldn't be the kingdom. So Joshua is desperate for himself and for his family, for the whole of the Hebrew people whom he loves. He's desperate that they are on board with this being God's land. And on board with living by the law that God gave them at Sinai. There is an urgency to his question. Joshua didn't lead them all this way just to have them throw it away and live under the yoke of another god or king. Jesus is on the journey to Jerusalem, and we know what happens there on the way to Jerusalem, where he, as he has said a few verses earlier, will suffer many things, be rejected, killed, and on the third day rise. And Jesus will do all of this for God's people that he loves very much. There is most certainly an urgency to the trip. He's not doing all this for our salvation just to have us return to bondage. When the Samaritans fail to welcome Jesus, perhaps over a long-standing feud about the correct place to worship, James and John want to call fire down from heaven to consume them. The people of Israel and the people of Samaria have been jerks to each other for ages. Jesus has no time for such pettiness and certainly no time for such violence. Once his mission was complete, there would be plenty of room in the kingdom for all of them and plenty of places to worship. Following Jesus right now is an imperative, and it will take precedence over our comfort. It was true in the first century, and it is true now. Just as in the first century, there will be times when what is required takes priority over other important things. In some moments, there is no time even to say goodbye. Not always, but there are times when discipleship becomes uncomfortable, difficult, inconvenient, immediate, maybe even dangerous. Certainly on the road to Jerusalem was one of those times. And Jesus is talking about going to spread the good news of God's kingdom, and that is urgent all times. Kingdom work is paramount, even if it is not always spectacularly dangerous or demanding. Following is an imperative because God's people will suffer until the kingdom is brought in fullness. In the world of empire, it would be horrible, if not impossible, to serve God alone. Christ gathered his disciples and taught them and empowered them with the Holy Spirit. They were not asked to be Christ's peacemakers all by their lonesome. Christianity, like its faith ancestor Judaism, is lived out in a faith community. Praise be to God. Our decision to follow Christ is individual and personal. But like the people of Israel and the first disciples of Christ, we do not choose in isolation from others, and we are not called to serve by ourselves. We are baptized into Christ's community of faith, claimed as God's children, and welcomed into the household of God. We are collectively called to be the body of Christ in the world, and we live out our faith surrounded by the prayers of the saints and with the promise of their partnership. It is through the church that we are reminded of God's saving power, here that we gather to worship God. Together we are taught and nurtured, prayed for and accompanied in service. Here we are encouraged and strengthened to show Christ's love. In the body of Christ, we begin to live as a people who bring God's peace, not just for ourselves, our household, our tribes, our communities, or our nation, but for the whole creation. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and the church is that vessel of hope. Today, we will welcome one more into our faith family. With the sacrament of baptism, Hannah and Chris have chosen this day for little Warren to be presented as part of this community of Christ followers. We celebrate that before Warren can choose, before Chris and Hannah chose, God chose Warren to be a child of hope. As we celebrate this baptism today, we realize that Warren will choose for himself in the future whom he will serve. Just like us, it will be a choice that he makes continually. Warren Griffith is already a child of God. Today we acknowledge the gift that is his life. We surround him with our prayers. We promise to be his partners in service to Christ. In his baptism, Warren becomes a member of this specific congregation and the Church Universal. With his baptism, this congregation accepts the joyful responsibility of serving Christ with him. Warren becomes a member, and neither Warren nor this family of faith will ever be the same again. What a wonderful thing. Warren brings to us many great gifts, some we already know and some will be a surprise. Just looking at him makes us smile. There will be times as he grows up that we will laugh with him, that laugh that only a child can bring out of us. If we are willing to listen, he will ask questions and make declarations that will make us think, and if we're really blessed, will create a sea change in our theology. Our hearts will be warmed by his acts of kindness, small or large, if we only pay attention to where the Spirit is moving in his life. So in a little while, Warren will be walked through this sanctuary for us to see him face to face. Gaze into his eyes if he is kind enough to open them for us. Take note of this little package full of precious gifts for the church and for the world. Commit to helping him unwrap the treasures that God has placed within him. Promise with all your heart to pray for him, to help him choose each day, to serve the Lord, to serve our Redeemer, and to let him help you do the same. See in him the urgency of Christ's kingdom-making mission for Warren's sake and for all the little children of the world. Amen.